Hi, I'm Blake Oliver, and when I'm not playing the cello, I'm listening to John Garrett on the Green Apple Podcast.
Welcome to episode 132 of the Green Apple Podcast. This is John Garrett, and each Wednesday I interview a professional who, just like me, is known for a hobby or a passion outside of work, making them stand out like a green apple in a boring red apple world. And to put it another way, it's encouraging people to find their and, as in my guest Blake Oliver is an accountant and plays the cello. And as you'll hear, his passion for music has helped his career in ways that you can't even learn if you took all the business school classes out there. And I've got a quick favor to ask you. If you like the show and are listening on iTunes or your favorite Android app, don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the future episodes. I love sharing such interesting stories each week. And this week is absolutely no different with my guest, Blake Oliver. He's the Senior Product Marketing Manager at Flowcast and the author of Cloud Accounting Weekly, an online publication for controllers and accountants using cloud technology. And for each of the last 2 years, he was named 40 under 40 by CPA Practice Advisor. You've got a lot going on, so thanks so much for being with me today on the Green Apple Podcast.
Thanks for having me, John.
I'm so excited to share with everyone your hobbies and passions that you have. It's such a unique story. But before we get into that, let's cover where you're at now and a little bit of how you got there.
Sure. So right now, I am sitting in Flowcast headquarters in Sherman Oaks, Los Angeles, California. Yeah. I am a senior product marketing manager. It's a mouthful. At Flowcast, we are close management software for accountants. So we manage all of those tasks, reconciliations, documents that controllers have to deal with when they're closing the books every month.
Oh, nice. Very cool. That's fantastic. And prior to that, you had some public accounting background?
Yeah. So I was working in the West LA office at Armanino, which is a top 25 firm, the largest California-based CPA and consulting firm.
Right.
For that, I had my own small bookkeeping firm, which we were one of the first Xero bookkeeping firms in the U.S. I was actually the second guy to get certified on Xero as a bookkeeper.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Who was number one?
I think it might have been Nick Pascarosa in New York, but I'm not totally sure. But for a while, it was me and him and
right.
Sort of divvied up the market since I was in L.A.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So that's very cool, man.
Yeah, and
that's fantastic.
It was really a wild ride because even though Xero is still very small compared to Intuit, it was a great, you know, early bird opportunity type situation. And I was building a bookkeeping company in the cloud when very very few people were doing that.
Right,
we just grew really rapidly. I mean, you know, tons of referrals, and it was a very sort of a right place at the right time situation.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's very cool. Yeah. That's great, man. Yeah, and one question that I love to ask everyone, just because everyone's got such a different story, is just what made you want to go into accounting? Like, how'd you get into that?
So I was not an accounting major in school.
Whoa, all
right. I played the cello, and I was started when I was 10 in Irvine Public Schools, where they actually still have music programs.
Yeah.
my family isn't musical. They thought I would do it for like a year and drop it, but it
right.
turned out that I was really good at this thing. And
right.
so I got lessons. I was in the honor orchestra. When we lived in Sacramento, I would drive every weekend to go to the San Francisco Youth Symphony, which I played in.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, just an amazing youth orchestra. It's sponsored by the San Francisco Symphony. The assistant conductor of the San Francisco Symphony was our conductor of the orchestra. And we
wow.
practiced in Davies Hall. Many of my friends who were in that orchestra are professional musicians now. And I thought I was going to do that. So I went to Northwestern University. I was a music major. And then I graduated. And that was in 2007. And I realized very quickly I did not enjoy the life of a professional musician as much as I like studying it.
Right.
It also happened to be the financial crisis. So nobody wanted to hire a musician who had no actual skills other than playing an instrument.
Right. right.
So in addition to playing a ton of weddings for like no money,
yeah.
I was right. doing SAT tutoring because I
okay.
happened to be good at taking tests.
Sure.
And one day at the company I was working at, the bookkeeper just quit in the middle of our busy season, which is like, you know, February, March, right? Sort of similar to public accounting. And I talked my way into his job because I realized he had a sweet gig, right?
It right.
was every week he came in, he set his own hours, he did his thing. And I was like, you know, I saw him in front of the computer and I said, it cannot be that difficult to type stuff into QuickBooks. Right. So, and I don't have to deal with these kids. Yeah. So I didn't, I had never actually used QuickBooks other than in the context of writing checks for my fraternity in college. So I had a learning curve, right. But I spent some long nights and reading the manual and figured it out.
Yeah.
And the really cool thing was that I was actually able to make a difference in this company because they were actually only using QuickBooks for their check register, essentially. Maybe paying some bills, writing some checks. And I figured out how to take the entire process of getting hours from the tutors and then entering those into the system and using that data to rebill the customers.
Oh.
So it was my first experience of doing sort of, I didn't even know what I was doing, but I was doing a consulting project, basically.
Right.
Right. Helping improve a workflow. And yeah. When I was done, I had taken this 20-hour-a-week process and cut it down to like 4 or 5 hours.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome, but I was getting paid hourly.
You were paid hourly. Oh, yeah. No.
So I went to the owner and I said, hey, why don't you hire me on, you know, full time? And because I did this and I can do a bunch of other stuff for you. So that was really cool. And that experience is what inspired me to go out and become a freelance consultant doing accounting technology and started my own firm, went back to school for the CPA. So it was quite an adventure. Took a few years, but I eventually, you know, figured out what I wanted to do. And
that's awesome.
Now I'm doing something else. So
right.
Go figure.
No, I love it, man. I think that's great. And creativity that you were able to bring to the table clearly helped out.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I think that having been in a very liberal arts type environment really helps everything I do in the accounting world. My mind is blown at how uncreative we can be, right? And how much opportunity there is for people who are willing to look outside the box or do things a different way.
No, absolutely. I mean, because it's just, well, you know, that's what was done last year, or that's what we always do, or that's what I did at my last firm, or whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, but it's not always the best way. It's one way.
Exactly.
But sometimes if with fresh eyes or, you know, a unique perspective, that's really cool, man. That's really cool. So do you still play the cello?
I do, not as much as I should. But I find, I love going to concerts. I like being a patron of the arts, which is good because there aren't too many of us these days.
Right. That's true too.
So, you know, somebody has to go to the concerts and listen. So I love when I get, I just went to a Colburn, chamber music concert, which is, Colburn.
Oh, that's cool.
It's the elite, music school here in Los Angeles. And the musicians are just incredibly good. They're, you know, the future orchestra musicians and soloists.
Right.
Yeah, their tickets are like $13 for these concerts. It's just because they're students and they're not professionals. It's absurd.
Right. So. That's child labor.
Exactly. But, you know, and when I feel like spending $150 on tickets, I'll go see the LA Phil. But the problem is that, you know, I'm so immersed in, you know, classical music for all these years that if I'm going to go, I'm going to spend the money to get the good seats. That's the problem I have.
Right.
It's like being a wine snob, right? It becomes very expensive very quickly.
Totally. Right. And everyone's like, can't you hear the same music in the back? No, it's different.
Very much.
You're more in it. You're a part of it when you're closer. That's for sure, man. That's for sure. So going back to your playing days, do you have any like cooler, most rewarding type of moments that that you had? I would imagine, you know, being part of the San Francisco Youth Symphony is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that was amazing. Just being on that stage. I had the opportunity when I was at Northwestern to attend the Meadowmount School of Music. That was really interesting. I can't say it was fun because I don't think it's designed to be fun, but it's basically the camp, the summer camp. Let's just call it band camp. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's the band camp where, you know, Yo-Yo Ma and Zach Perlman went, right?
Whoa.
Where Joshua Bell went. And so there's all this history there.
Right.
I also got to go to the Aspen Music Festival as a student a couple of years.
Cool.
And, you know, that's just, I'll never forget, you know, that we stayed in the ski lodge or the ski worker housing. And we, you know, we would ride our bikes down the mountain to go to town. And
right.
Just idyllic.
Yeah.
Sort of.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
Of course, that was before I encountered the real world.
Right.
You know, but
But no, but that's fantastic, man. That's really, really cool. Yeah. And so, I mean, I would have to imagine that, I mean, like we touched on earlier a little bit, is just, you know, that a little bit of that creativity comes from the music and the arts side of you. I mean, do you feel like there's a skill set that you have that maybe others don't because of this passion?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the ability to look at a problem and throw away all your preconceived notions and approach it in a new way is hugely valuable, especially in a conservative field,
right?
That is changing rapidly, like accounting, right?
Right.
And what's happening right now in the accounting profession is a total rewriting of the rules. We are figuring out how to automate a ton of work that used to be a part of the job. And I think the crap, I call it, you know, the crap of the accounting profession is what kept a lot of creative people away from it.
Right.
But as we automate that, it's opening up the field to people like me who really would have been excluded.
Right.
And so I'm all about trying to figure out ways to streamline, to modernize, to improve collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, with technology, with better ways of working together. And so that's why I'm excited to work at Flowcast now, because we're building that collaboration software for accounting teams.
Right.
Which is really very late coming to the accounting profession, right? This sort of collaboration project management software has existed for 20 years or more.
Right.
In other areas of the business. Like Salesforce has been around for 19 years now, right?
That's fantastic. Oh, and, wow. Yeah.
And I think of us as like, you know, the analogy is that Salesforce is to sales teams what Flowcast is to accounting teams,
right?
It should be where everything gets managed.
Yeah.
It's exciting to be on the, you know, on the cutting edge of that.
Right.
And helping to, you know, I mean, we have a real effect on our customers' lives, right? Like, you know, why is it that in accounting you're expected during the close at the beginning of the month to abandon everything else in your life, right?
Yeah,
you don't
totally
get to go home,
right?
You have to stay on the weekend. Like, why is this considered normal? It's not normal in any other area of the business.
And we see it coming for weeks, you know?
It's like, yeah, and it just happens every month,
totally.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And a lot has to happen in a very short amount of time. But if you have the right tools, you can manage that and you don't hit these bottlenecks. And, you know, the people I get to talk to who are our customers, they, like, their minds are blown when they realize that they don't ever have to stay late again.
Yeah. They're like, well, I should stay late doing something else. Like, I have to stay late for some reason. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually, yeah, that's a little bit of a struggle sometimes, right? And
yeah,
actually, there was an article recently in the Harvard Business Review, research about the type of people that are attracted to professional services firms.
Right.
And the researcher had a term. She called high-performing, well, not just CPAs, but lawyers and, you know,
sure,
professional consultants. She called them, quote, insecure overachievers.
Yeah.
Unquote.
Yeah.
And work really, really, really hard by choice, really long hours, because we do knowledge work, right? So we have a really hard time quantifying the results of our work. And so we all work really hard so we can seem like we're valuable, so we can feel like we're accomplishing a lot.
Yeah.
And we have to change. I think we have to change that mindset.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, you know, it's just, you know, yeah, I mean, just showing people that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to be human. It's okay to not know everything. You don't have to know all the answers. You just have to know who does.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay to be human and smile every once in a while, because yeah, the people that are on the other side of this transaction are also other humans, you know?
Yeah. And we're not robots.
Right. Right. And the funny thing to me is how sometimes people double down on the technical skills, and that's where the robots are. You know, and you versus a robot, you're going to lose every single time, every time. And, you know, but the robots aren't in the human to human interactions and the, you know, relating to people or communicating the information that the computer spits out to another human.
Exactly. And, yeah, that's the job that's going to be left when we're finished automating,
right,
most of the day-to-day work. It's going to be the human component. And that makes a lot of accountants uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is, because when they leave the office, there's humans that they interact with. So it's like, why is it that when you walk into the office, all of a sudden it's different or it's weird, or I don't understand.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, you have a sort of a a philosophy about that, right? Which is, I mean, that people, they should bring themselves outside of work into work, right? Or at least something about themselves, right, like their hobbies or their passions.
Right. And it's the simplest thing for me. Yeah. I mean, because it's not controversial. Yeah.
And I totally agree with that. And I think that the lines between home and work are starting to blur.
Oh, for sure.
And we're not going to be able to have this facade anymore about, you know, this is who I am at work. And it's this guy in a suit or woman in a suit who's very professional. And I'm a CPA type situation.
Right.
And this person I am at home, which is not at all that person at work.
Yeah.
It's social media is making it very, very difficult to maintain that. I think a lot of the fallout, right, that you see from all of these scandals, it's because people had one way of being at work and one way of being outside of work.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And you just can't do it anymore.
No, I mean, it's exhausting. I mean, there's people that I've talked to here on the Green Apple podcast that, you know, they're like, they just talk about how exhausting it was because who did I tell? Who haven't I told? Who am I allowed to tell? Who can I, it's like, ah, I mean, it's exhausting. It's physically and emotionally and mentally just draining. And then you're not good at your job. I mean, that's just it. And I mean, imagine if you were never allowed to tell anyone of the art side of you and you weren't allowed to use any of those skills, then that first, bookkeeping job that you had would be the worst job on the planet.
Yeah. Well, and I'm lucky because my main hobby is something that is, considered to be, I don't know, it's good, right? People like that. They're like, oh, you play the cello. How exciting and interesting.
Right.
I also like to play video games, which
now we're talking.
If I tell that to a partner at an accounting firm, they're like, my 12-year-old son likes to play video games. I do not. There's something strange that a 34-year-old man is playing video games. And then I have to explain to them that video games are not just for kids anymore, that the biggest demographic consuming video games is 30-year-old men and 40-year-old men.
Right. Totally.
And I very happily go home, I turn off my brain, and I turn on my PlayStation 4, and I can play Rocket League and I play with my brother who's all the way in New York City.
Nice.
And that's how we hang out now that we live in different sides of the country.
Right.
And that's, that's really cool.
That's very cool, man. Like, I have the original Nintendo, the original NES, and with 8 games. It was I was at my parents' and I found it in my closet in my old bedroom. And I was like, what? And that on a flat screen TV is amazing.
Have to do that.
It's crazy. Yeah. You can't play Duck Hunt, though, because the gun isn't...
Oh, it doesn't work.
Yeah, calibrated for that. But it is awesome. And it's fantastic.
I have to tell you my dirty secret, or it's like my guilty pleasure.
Sure.
Which is, it's watching Twitch. Are you familiar with Twitch?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so it's a live streaming network,
right,
of video game, professional video game players,
right,
who just broadcast themselves playing video games.
So
people watch them, right? Instead of playing the games themselves, they'll watch these really, really good players.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of different, you can watch all different games. People get really into it. They have certain players that they follow. This is a billion-dollar company, by the way. Okay, this is not like niche.
Yeah.
And one of the subcultures inside of Twitch that I like is the speedrunning community. It's these people who just try to beat video games as fast as they can, and they try to set world records. So there's a guy who, I don't know, he can beat the original Super Mario Brothers game in 5 minutes or faster, or something like that, right? I'm probably off with mine, but it's like under 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people obsessively try to get it down. It's like the Olympics, right? They're trying to like improve the run by like 0.5 seconds, 0.1 second. And I just find it fascinating, right?
Right.
And to me, it's just so cool that even exists.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's like, oh, you don't want to play? Well, then watch. Yeah. Tell that to the partner that's like, yeah, that's weird that a guy in his 30s plays video games. Well, I also just watch. So which one's more weird?
Like, I like to tell them that I play video games first. And then if that's okay, then I stretched a little farther and said, by the way, I also just watch people play them. I'm tired of it.
Right. And it's online. It's not like I'm peeking in somebody's window while they're playing.
No, I'm not even hanging out with somebody, right? It's somebody I don't even know.
Right. Yeah. No, man, it's welcome to 2018, right? That's fantastic.
We live in a very strange world. And I just keep asking myself, where are the flying cars? We can watch people play video games.
We have everything else. Everything else.
But we don't have the rocket packs or the flying cars.
The Back to the Future and the Simpsons, between the two of those things, they've covered almost everything that's happened.
That is an interesting point, though, that you bring up of, you know, whether to bring something, you know, up during discussion, you know, with people while you're at lunch or whatever. I mean, how does it normally come up? I guess the playing the cello or the video games, either one.
I don't know. I guess I made a decision when I started being an accountant that I didn't want to have to hide any aspect of my life. So I'll just, you know, it'll just come up in conversation. Like, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, you know, I played Rocket League with my brother for like 2 hours.
Right.
It's not that weird. I mean, maybe I'm just lucky in that I never worked at the big
four. Not at all.
I didn't work at the big four, you know, so I've never been inside that culture. I don't know if, you know, if you can be that, you know, upfront about your hobbies.
It probably depends on the city, but yeah,
exactly. I think we should all resolve to just say, you know, screw it. I'm gonna be myself right at work.
Yeah. I love it.
I don't know. Ever since I started doing that, things have gone well. So here's my philosophy. People are crying out for authenticity in this world.
Yeah.
Right. They want to hang out with people or know people or work with people who are who they seem to be. Right. And when you have two different lives, you there's no way you can do that. Nobody's a good enough actor.
Right.
So this is the future, right? If you want to be successful and have connections with people, you really need to just take a risk and be yourself.
Yeah.
And maybe people won't like that, but chances are they will.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe, I mean, I'm curious, have you had any really bad experiences? I mean, it's something that I think is mostly in our own heads. That fear.
Yeah, I really do think it is. I'm trying to think of any particularly, like, I haven't had any. Well, no, I mean, there are some people online. You will, if you.
Oh, yeah, online, you sure. Yourself, okay. Yeah, I mean, there's always a troll that's living in his parents' basement and whatever.
So I'm a blogger, right? I have my own blog. I have my own website,
right.
Podcast, BlakeOliver.com. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, absolutely. And the Cloud Accounting Podcast for people that want to double dip here.
Yeah.
Definitely check that out for sure.
You know, you start saying things that are a little bit counter to, you know, what's traditional, and some people will come and shoot you down for it. And
sure.
YouTube comments are the worst, right? So,
oh man, yeah.
Don't listen, right? Just keep being who you are, and you'll be rewarded for that.
Right, because I mean, for every one of those, there's 500 that love it.
Yeah.
So clearly it's not you.
And most of those people who love it are, it's like a silent majority, right? So you get the most passionate people making comments.
Right.
And so you just got to realize that the people who are actually typing are not necessarily your audience or your coworkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like you're at work and you wear something like a little bit different to work because you like fashion. Right. And you decide, hey, I'm not going to just wear the, you know, typical PwC suit to work every day. Right. I'm going to do something different. Mm-hmm. And then even though you're within the dress code, somebody like gets on your case about it. Right. Well, maybe you should just be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, own it. I mean, I clearly was the only one that did comedy in my office. Right. I mean, and, a guy remembered me 12 years after I left. So, you know, who he doesn't remember is the person that wore the same suit, you know, and all that. So, you know, it's okay to stand out. It's scary, but it's actually better. You know, and I'm living proof and so are you, which is great. Really, really cool. And so how much do you believe that it's on the organization itself to create a culture where it's okay to share, or how much is it on the individual just be like, hey, this is it. This is what I do.
I think that it's super important that it comes from the top, that attitude that it's okay to have a different opinion or to disagree. One of the things I loved about Armanino is that Andy Armanino said at our orientation that they want to hear different ideas and different ways of doing things. And that's what attracted me to that firm.
Yeah.
If you're at a firm where it's super hierarchical and they, you know, nobody's ever going to tell you like, we don't want to hear what you have to say because that's not cool to say anymore. Right.
Right?
But you can tell if they aren't really interested. So
yeah.
I would say, you know, if you're not in one of those firms, try to get into one of those firms.
Right.
Because it's just, it's so much more rewarding when you can have input and it's not just top down.
Yeah. No, I mean, I completely agree. And it makes it a whole lot easier. You know, and that's awesome when he stands up there and says something like that. I mean, were there other things that Armanino did as a firm that encouraged that?
Yeah. A great example was the Innovation Committee. So the Innovation Committee was a group of both staff and partners and execs from the steering committee that met every, I think they met every month. And anyone in the firm could submit an idea it was like an electronic suggestion box.
Sure.
And if your idea was selected by the innovation committee as being innovative, you'd get $100 right there.
Oh, wow.
Out of their meeting. And then all the ideas were submitted to a contest that was held annually for the best idea, right?
Okay.
And that was like a $10,000 prize.
Wow.
So they actually, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, right? Which is saying, like, give us the ideas. We want to hear them. They would also, you know, follow up. They would work to implement and follow up on the ideas that they'd selected.
Right.
So I thought that was neat.
Yeah. And were the ideas business development wise, or like how to run the firm better, or just personnel wise, or anything?
It could be anything. Oh, wow. It could be anything. So I submitted an idea about implementing a team chat tool.
Okay.
So something I wanted to implement Microsoft Teams, and the Innovations Committee liked that idea. So I'd been having trouble with IT getting them to greenlight the project, but the Innovation Committee came in and said, no, IT, you have to do this. This is innovative.
There you go. Yeah.
Another idea was somebody suggested, you know, something small. Let's do a yoga room in the LA West office.
All right.
And that was selected, right?
Yeah.
So it could be anything.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. That's very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah, because I mean, it's so refreshing to hear, you know, it's not just on a brochure, but they're actually living and breathing it every day, which is fantastic, which is what we all need. And it's very inspiring to hear that. Yeah, so before I bring this in and we do the 17 rapid fire questions to make sure we can hang out, do you have any words of encouragement to anyone that's listening that, you know, some people are like, well, I'm the only one that does this hobby or passion, no one else is going to care. Why should I share it?
Well, I would say that overall, there are a lot of people who are in the accounting profession that are frustrated. It's because of the model is starting to, it's not designed for people to be happy at the beginning of their career.
Right.
And I would say that if you're in your first or second year and you're feeling like you're not going to make it, there are opportunities in accounting that are really fun and interesting and are not soul crushing. So keep
right,
at it,
right.
And look for those opportunities.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, maybe the big four, maybe outside, but there's a lot of innovative stuff going on, especially with small firms and mid-sized firms like Armanino.
Right.
I would say that, if you are that person who feels like, you know, the square peg in the round hole and you're not fitting in, it's better to go somewhere where you can be yourself than to try and stick around just because that's the traditional career path. I think the whole make it until manager and then go to industry is not the set career path anymore. There's a lot of ways to get there. I went completely backwards,
you
right?
Totally
I had my own accounting firm,
right?
A book firm, consulting firm, sold that, then went to a mid-market firm, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that given my skill set, if I'd wanted to, I probably could have tried to get into the big four backwards, right?
Right, right.
Like they're firms are willing to take talent. You just have to be different.
Yeah.
I think I'm living proof.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I agree 100% and clearly successful. So it's not just be different and kind of waddle through your career. It's no, be different and it's gas on a fire for your career. I mean, it's an accelerant.
Yeah. Be strategic about being different.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, definitely. Yeah. Clearly. Like, let's not be crazy. It's still accounting. That's why it'd still be a green apple. You know, I'm not asking you to be a kiwi or a grapefruit or something weird. You know, just
definitely don't be a banana. The bananas are
right. No, weird. No. Because they only last for a couple of days and then they're rotten. Ugh. And then it's a race against time when you buy a banana.
And you have to make banana bread.
Right.
And does anyone really like banana bread? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, because everyone that I know that makes banana bread gives it to someone. It's like,
exactly.
It's like, why aren't you eating this? but no, this has been really, really fantastic, Blake. But before I get on a plane and fly down and we go to the symphony together, I have my 17 rapid fire questions that I like to run people through.
All right.
So I'm going to fire this thing up here and this is going to be good. This is going to be good. So I'll start you out with an easy one. Easy one. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Star Trek. Okay. Are you more of a PC or a Mac?
Mac.
Mac. All right. How about, do you have a favorite ice cream flavor?
I like chocolate chip cookie dough.
Nice. That's one of my favorites, definitely. For sure. How about a favorite color?
Blue.
Blue. All right. How about a least favorite color?
I'm not a fan of that green from the 70s, you know, like that avocado green.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's kind of gross. Yeah. Good answer. How about, do you have a favorite TV show of all time?
I love Frasier, and I have the Frasier dog. My dog is a Jack Russell Terrier.
Nice, man. That's a solid answer that I have not had yet. So that's a really good answer. Really good show. How about more pens or pencils?
Pencils, because I obsessively have to keep everything clean and erased.
Okay, okay. How about, are you more of a Sudoku or a crossword puzzle?
Definitely Sudoku.
Okay, all right. How about when it comes to toilet paper, are you over or under?
Over. Under is weird. I don't get it.
I agree too. It's against the wall. You can't grab it. Like, I don't understand. How about, do you have a favorite actor or actress?
I guess I've been watching The Crown a lot, right, on Netflix. Who is the woman that plays Queen Elizabeth on The Crown? She's fantastic.
The lady that plays the queen in The Crown. That's a good answer. I got it. How about, what's a typical breakfast?
I am a huge pancake eater.
Okay. 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 When it comes to financials, are you prefer the balance sheet or the income statement?
I like the balance sheet.
Sure. All right. And would you say you're more jeans or khakis?
Jeans for every day. Jeans for life.
Jeans for life. Right. Do you have a favorite number?
4.
And why is that?
Because of, I love string quartets.
Ah, okay. Right. There you go. Would you say, this is kind of a good LA question, are you more oceans or mountains?
Definitely mountains.
Oh, yeah. Two more. Are you more of an early bird or a night owl?
I'm a night owl.
Okay. And the last thing, the favorite thing you own or the favorite thing you have?
The favorite thing I own doesn't belong to me, really. It belongs to my son. My son was born deaf. He had cochlear implant surgery.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen these videos on YouTube. It's deaf people hearing for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Now he wears these really cool processors. It allows him to hear.
That's awesome. You're able to share the music that you're so passionate about.
Exactly.
And that's really cool, man. Wow. Well, this was such a great episode, Blake. Thanks so much for taking time to be with me on the Green Apple Podcast.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Wow, that was so great. I loved how Blake said, people are crying out for authenticity in this world. They want to work with people who are who they seem to be. This is absolutely true. And it all starts with you not being afraid to be yourself at work. This authenticity leads to more trust, which for you leads to a better career, and for the firm, a better bottom line. If you'd like to see some pictures of Blake and his cello, and also connect with him on social media, or sign up for his Cloud Accounting Weekly newsletter, be sure to go to greenapplepodcast.com. All the links are there. And while you're on the page, please click that big green button and do the anonymous research survey about firm culture. Thanks again for subscribing on iTunes or whatever app you use, and for sharing this with your friends so they get the message that we're all trying to spread, which is to go out and be a green apple.